Exodus chapter 21. And here we have another one of the doors that we find in God's Word. Exodus 21 and verse 6. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In our reading this morning, and we look carefully, we can see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Christ pictured here in this reading this morning with reference to the Hebrew servant. For the Lord Jesus took up the position of a servant. We know that from Philippians, the words of Paul there in Philippians chapter 2. They are familiar words, but they set out for us the position that Christ was willing to descend onto and occupy. Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so we read there, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And repeatedly, through the Old Testament scriptures, the Lord Jesus is spoken of as a servant. Isaiah 42, verse 1, behold, my servant, whom I uphold. And then once again, the same prophet declares in Isaiah 53 and verse 11, but his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. My righteous servant. Here's the Father speaking about his Son, describes him as my righteous servant. He'll justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And so there's no question about the Lord Jesus being a servant. And here we read in Exodus 21 about a Hebrew servant. You see, not only his position as a servant, but we think of his passion as well. The servant here in verse 5 speaks about his love for his master. There in verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. And so the servant declares his love for his master. Christ being a servant, over and over again in the Gospels, Christ declared his love for his master, his heavenly Father. All that he did to the glory of God. Yes, he came into the world to save our soul, to redeem us from our sin. But he did so that he might glorify his Father. He came to do his Father's will. Why? Because he loved his Father. Now you can look at those words in Exodus 21 yourself and study them, and you'll see much more of Christ in those words that we read this morning. But I want to look at these words regarding a servant as to what a Christian ought to be. What is said out here about the Hebrew servant? It ought to be seen in the life of every born again child of God. So I want to look then at the servant. Indeed, my subject this morning is saved to serve. We're saved to serve. To serve the Lord. To serve our Master. First of all, I want us to notice the servant's choice. A choice was given to this Hebrew servant. He could serve his master for 6 years. At the end of the 6 years, he was given a choice to continue serving his master or to go out free. That was his choice. And regarding the servant's choice, first thing we notice about him is that this servant was a purchased servant. He was purchased. We read there in verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. But the point is, this individual was bought. He was a purchased servant. So when he is purchased, he belongs to the one who bought him. The one who paid the price for him. And there straight away, we are reminded of what we are before the Lord and what we are to the Lord. We belong to him. Why? Because he purchased us. He bought us. No, not with silver and gold. Not with silver and gold, corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Think of it. The Hebrew servant would have been bought with silver and gold. But you and I, believer, we have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now look at the words again in the verse 2. Now if thou buy an Hebrew servant. When he was bought, he wasn't bought and then trained or made into a servant. He didn't become a servant at a later date. He was a servant the moment he was bought. If thou buy an Hebrew servant. And believer, so it is with us. The moment Christ saved us, the moment he bought us out of the slave market of sin, we became his servant. The same day, the same hour, the same moment. He bought us to serve him. And since he bought us, we belong to him. He has purchased us. He paid the price for us. You turn, please, to 1 Corinthians. There in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 7. We read in the verses 22 and 23. First Corinthians 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant. So we are called by Christ. We're made a servant. Being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. No, we weren't bought by man. We're told here clearly, ye are bought with a price. Ye are Christ's servants. We've been saved to serve. To serve the Lord. To serve the one who bought us. Go back in the 1 Corinthians in the chapter 6. And there in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. That's plain enough. We don't live unto ourselves. We don't live unto our fellow man. We live unto God. Ye are not your own, for because ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That's how we're to live. We're to live in a way that glorifies God. We're not to live unto ourselves. It's what God wants us to do. We're to live for Him. Why? Because we are purchased. Ye are not your own. God owns us. Christ owns us. We belong to Him for time and for eternity. So we have the purchase. And then we notice here the period. As far as the Hebrew servant was concerned, he was obliged to serve his master for 6 years. We have it there in verse 2. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. Now, six in the Bible is the number of man. And so here we see man's responsibility. The Hebrew man's responsibility to serve his master for 6 years. And at the end of the 6 years, he was given the choice to continue serving or to leave his master and go out of his own free will. And surely that applies to all whom the Lord has purchased with His own blood. No, not to serve Him just for 6 years. He has purchased us. He has bought us with His own blood. And surely the fact that He has bought us with His own precious blood, we would want to serve Him for 66 years, for 100 years, if we had the opportunity. And since Christ has bought us, He has saved us, then ought we not to serve Him? We are His servant. That's what He has told us. The gentleman who led me to Christ, man called Tommy Ryan. He was a personal worker. He did hospital visitation and visited the sick. You remember when I was knelt beside him and he was opening the scriptures to me and showing me the way of salvation, I noticed that in the lapel of his jacket he had a pin or a badge, circular badge. And in the middle of that pin or the middle of that badge were three words: saved to serve. Always remember those words. Saved to serve. And how true they are. We're saved to serve. We're saved that we might serve the Lord and lay up treasure in heaven. We don't want to appear before God and having done nothing for Him during the years of our lives. We don't want to stand before God like the barren fig tree, having borne no fruit. From time to time, you don't see it so much now, really. But you used to have two young men come to your door. And they also had a pin in their jacket. And they would be called Elder Smith or Elder Jones. You'd see it in their name and the lapel of their coat. You knew straight away. They were two Mormons. Two Mormons, Church of the Latter-day Saints. And you know, two young men like those give 2 years of their life to serve the Mormon Church. Whatever their regular occupation is, they give it up for 2 years. And they'll go to other countries to serve their God, not the God of the Bible. To serve their God and to spread their false teaching. But they surrender 2 years of their life. 2 years. The Hebrew servant was obliged to serve for 6 years. But ought we not to give all our years to serving our Savior? Don't we admire and don't we pray for our missionaries? Our missionaries who leave home, mom and dad, brother and sister, and go to some far off land, and they're there to serve the Lord, and they serve Him all the days of their life. Not for 2 years, not for 6 years, but for a lifetime. Think of dear brother Dr. Bill Woods, who served the Lord all his days in Brazil. Worked among the lepers. Performed eye surgeries. Preached the gospel. He gave his life to Christ. Not just 2 years, not 6 years. His whole life. We admire them. We pray for them. We think of Saul of Tarsus. When he met the Lord, and the Lord met him in the road to Damascus. And the Lord humbled him there. And there in the dust of that road to Damascus, what did Paul say, or Saul say? He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He'd only met the Lord. The Lord had just saved him there and then. And yet, he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" What can I do, Lord? Is no sinner saved than he was ready to serve. No sinner saved than he was ready to serve. And how long did he serve? Well, we were given the answer over in 2 Timothy 4. Paul says there, I am now ready to be offered. Word offered means sacrifice. He knew he was going out to die for the cause of Christ. And he says, I am now ready to be offered. Boy, is the good to be ready. Ready to die. Paul was ready to die. And he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The word departure there refers to taking up anchor and leaving the bay or leaving the port and sailing out into the sea. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand, and I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's how long he served the Lord. From that day on the Damascus road to the day he died, Paul served the Lord. Not 2 years or 6 years, but he gave his life to serving his master. He knew he was saved to serve. Give the purchase, the period, and then the proposal. After he had served his master, this Hebrew servant, he was free to go after 6 years. He was free to go. In the seventh year, he shall go out free. He was not been tied there by any ball and chain, as it were. He was not chained to some place there in his master's house. He was free to go. He was free to leave. There was no obligation upon him to serve his master any longer. And unfortunately, and sad to say, many professing believers only served the Lord for a short time, and they go away, and they serve the Lord no longer. Turn to John chapter 6. Here's a perfect example of John chapter 6, verse 66. From that time, many. That makes sad reading, doesn't it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. We're going to serve anymore. No. There was no ball and chain tied to their ankles. They were free to go. But can you imagine what it was like for the Savior to stand there that day and watch those disciples one by one by one go away and leave him, never to walk with him again and never to serve him again? They've been saved to serve, but they no longer wanted to serve their master. You know, over the years when that individual was like that, they did run well. Like the Galatians. Ye did run well, but did hinder you. They had run well. They were involved in the Lord's work. And then little by little they pulled back and they did less and less and less and less until they were gone. Sad to see that. Paul spoke of an individual like that. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10, Paul spoke about a man called Demas. Demas hath forsaken me. Demas had been involved in the Lord's work. He had served the Lord along with Paul. And I hear at the end of Paul's life, he's looking back on those who had helped him and assisted him and labored with him in the gospel. And he thinks about Demas. He says, Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Why had he forsaken Paul? And why was he no longer serving the Lord? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's why. Many have got caught up in the things of the world. Those who did run well for the Lord and did serve the Lord. But then they got caught up in the things of the world. And the world drew them away. And they no longer serve the Lord. The Hebrew servant was obliged to serve 6 years. And just like many, they've served the Lord for X number of years. But they don't serve him anymore. They're back in the world. They've left their first love. And they're back to serving the devil. No longer serving the Lord. It is sad when believers certainly do not want to do anything for the Lord. The Lord Jesus has exhorted us, saying, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with them twain. In other words, when the Lord compels us to go a mile, to do something simply for Him, the Lord says, don't just do the mile, just don't go the mile. Go another mile, and another mile, and another mile. Don't do just what you have to do, as it were. But go out, all out for the Lord. All out for the Lord. He went all out for us. As well as the servant's choice, we have the servant's claim. What will he do now? After he had served his master for 6 years, but he's given the choice. Read in verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. I will not. I'm not going to leave my master. I've served him for 6 years, but I'm not going to leave him. I want to continue to serve him. Here we have, first of all, his declaration. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, there's his declaration. I want to serve him longer than 6 years. Why? Because I love my master. Well, you couldn't get a better reason than that. But look at the words. The servant shall plainly say. Plainly say those two words. The servant shall plainly say. Those two words mean to say it again and again and again. Emphasizing. I will not go out free because I love my master. That's what it means. I love my master. I will not go out free. I love him. I love him. I love my master. I want to go on serving him. Isn't that what service is found at all, isn't it? It's founded on love. Well, we know that from John 21. Turn to John chapter 21 and verse 15. Here's Peter and six of the other disciples being restored to their first love. John 21 verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And that was proving it to Peter, because you recall what Peter had said. Peter had said, whatever others will do, I will never forsake thee. I'll go with thee to prison. I'll go with thee to death. Whatever the others will do, this is what I'll do. And the Lord brought that all back to Peter when he said to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Their service. What is the service based on? His love for Christ. Feed my lamb. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto me, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Because you love me, then feed my sheep. Serve me. Because you love me, then serve me. The same thing at the end of verse 17. Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Serve me then. If you love me, then serve me. It's still the same. The Lord would say to us today, if you love me, then serve me. Not for any limited time. Not for 2 or 6 years, but serve me like Paul to the day that he died. Why would we do that? Why would we want to do that? Surely because we love the Lord. Because we love him. You recall that incident recorded in Mark 14 of the woman coming into the house and anointing the Lord And there was the outcry of, led by Judas, and they all cried out against her. What waste, what a waste of ointment. The Lord came to her defense. Let her alone. Let her alone. She hath done what she could. Why? Why did she anoint the Lord? Why did she do what she could? Why? Because she loved the Lord. That's why. She did what she could because she loves the Lord. And when a person, when a Christian, when a believer loves the Lord, they'll do what they can for the Master. Remember what the Hebrew servant said, I love my Master. And if we love the Master, we'll make that declaration. I love my Master. I will do what I can for him. It's a declaration. Then you have his devotion. Look again at the verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my Master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. There's his devotion. He mentions his wife and his children. But notice who comes first. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my Master, my wife, and my children. The servant put his Master first. I love my Master. I love him first. You know, that's what the Lord expects of us. Luke chapter 14. And there we read in verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father, and I pointed out last week, it doesn't mean that the person is to literally hate the father and mother and family. The reference there is that we're to love the Lord more than family and father, mother, and children. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, the Lord must come first. And the Hebrew servant was basically saying that, I love my Master, and he put the Master first, my wife and my children. And therefore he said, I will not go out free. I want to continue serving my Master. Why? Because he loved him. But look at the words there in that verse that we read in Luke 14. If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, and children, brethren, sisters, yeah, his own life. Seven things are mentioned there. Seven, the number of completion. And so the Lord is saying that he looks for his people to love him completely. Fully. Completely. He comes first. And when Christ comes first in our lives, we'll want to serve him All our days. Why? Because we love him. There's a declaration, there's a devotion. Then we have the determination. The Hebrew servant here makes it very clear. Again, verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. That's his determination. I will not go out free. In other words, he was saying, I am determined to serve my master beyond 6 years. I am determined to do that. I will not go out free. He had the opportunity to stop serving after 6 years, but he says, I will not go out free. And these words show the determination of this Hebrew servant that nothing but nothing would stop him from serving his master. Oh, for such determination in our lives. See it, Spurgeon. Saith, after he had been in the Lord's service for 24 years, Spurgeon said, I wish to serve him not another 24 years, but 24,000,000 years. That's how much he wanted to serve. Not just another 24 years, 24,000,000 years. George Whitfield said of that, 1,000 lives to live, I would live them all for Christ. Now, since the Hebrew servant wanted to continue serving his master beyond the 6 years, among other things, that tells us something. It tells us something about his master. Since this Hebrew servant wanted to serve his master beyond the 6 years, it tells me he had a good master. If his master had treated him harshly or cruelly, he'd have been glad to get out from under him after 6 years. But when he said, I am determined to serve him beyond 6 years, it tells me he had a good master. And boy, when you serve the Lord, you serve a good master. You serve a good master. That's what Spurgeon testified to. And Whitfield. They all knew they served a good master. And why would they want to stop serving him? They've considered then the servant and his choice, the servant and his claim, I love my master. They come finally to the servant and his continuance. The next step for the Hebrew servant was to publicly show that he was going to serve his master continually. Look at verse 6. When he says, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door. Now we come to the door in the Bible. They will bring him unto the door, unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Here we see, first of all, his witness. his public witness. He was brought by his master unto the judges, and he would make it known publicly before those judges, I'm going to continue to serve my master. He did it public. He wanted the judges to know, if you like, he wanted everybody to know, I serve my master. I'm going to serve him forever. We considered Joseph of Arimathea the other week. Joseph of Arimathea, we know, was a disciple, a servant of the Lord, but secretly. He didn't want anybody to know that he was a servant of the Lord. That is, until he got a glimpse of Christ on the cross. And he came out publicly, went to Pilate and begged the body of Christ, and came and placed that body in his own tomb. He made it public. I'm a servant of the Lord. Let us not be like Joseph of Arimathea. We're Christians. Let's not keep it a secret. The Lord's not ashamed to own us. Why should we be ashamed to own him? And we're his servants. Let us make it known. We serve the Lord. And so he made it public. He came before the judges. As well as his witness, you have his wound. We read there what his master would then do. When he brought him to the judges, and the servant had made it public, he was going to serve his master for the rest of his days. His master then brought him to the door of his house. And he would bore his ear through with an awl. And he would use that awl to pierce the ear of the servant to the door of the house. And you would say, that's rather strange for anyone to do that, but that was the law. And as well as that, again, it was a public statement, I'm going to serve my master. And he bore the mark. He had the mark in his ear of that public statement. He bore the mark of a servant to his master. And he bore the mark the rest of his days. Now, that brings us over to the book of Psalms. You turn to Psalm 40. And Psalm 40, we know this is a messianic psalm. It's the psalm of Christ. And we go to Psalm 40, and we come to verse 6. And in verse 6 we read, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Thine ears hast thou opened. If you have a Bible margin, you'll see the word open can be rendered digged. Mine ears hast thou digged. If you like, mine ears hast thou pierced. What was that a sign of? It was a sign of the servant serving his master faithfully and continually. And the ear of Christ was dead, as a sign that Christ served his master, his Lord, his Father, continually, day and night. He never slackened off in his servants. And there again, we have the Hebrew servant, and he's likened on to Christ. And so when we give our lives to the Lord to serve him continually, we're doing what Christ did. We're being Christ-like in our living as a Christian. Now what we want, don't we want to be like the Lord? And you might say, well, why was his ear bored through at the door of his house? Well, it would remain, it would be a reminder. Every time the Hebrew servant would go out of that door, he'd be reminded, I'm going out into the world as a servant of my master. Isn't that what we need? That every time we go out through the doors of our home, we're going out into the world as a servant of our master. And wherever the opportunity arises, to serve him, to do something for him. After all, the Lord said, ye are the light of the world. His witness, his wound, his willingness. He shall serve him forever. Believer, are we as willing as that to serve the Lord forever? If not, we won't enjoy heaven. We'll not enjoy heaven. Because I read in Revelation 22 verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him forever. Heaven. But serve the Lord forever. His servants will continue serving him when our service here on earth is done. The Lord will call us to higher service. The Hebrew servant. And if the servant shall say plainly, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. May that be our testimony. Going to serve the Lord forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, thy word challenges us. We've been challenged today by thee regarding service, doing what we can for the Master. O Lord, may it be our testimony, I will not go out free. I will serve my Master forever. Forever. And then, like Paul would be able to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away. Lord, may we labor for that crown and for the well done of God. Dear Lord, be with us now, I pray, as we leave the Lord's house. Keep us safe in our travels. Keep us all healthy and well, we ask of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. In the dear Lord's name I pray. Amen.